Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody. Nice to see both Frank and Armita back. Glad you guys are feeling better. You visitors with us, we're awful glad that you came to worship with us today. And if you have any questions about anything that is said today, be sure and ask us. We'd like to be able to study with you further if there's any questions. Before we get started, I just want to wish my beautiful bride happy anniversary, 35 years, and it's been probably the best thing I could say is she has made me a better person. If I'm not good enough for you, blame her. She didn't work hard enough at it. But anyway. I thank Stacy for 35 years, and hope 35 more. Hold it up. Well, I guess theoretically.
Anyway, we're going to look
today. It kind of goes along a little bit. Tracy is going to be the last quarter of this year going to be teaching Sunday morning Bible class. And are you still going to do the hermeneutics? A little portion of hermeneutics, how we study the Bible, is just analyzing words. That's a small portion of it. And I wanted to look at some very small words, ifs, ands, or buts. Okay, my mom used to use those phrases, you know, basically, it was always negative. Under no circumstances, no ifs, ands, or buts, you're back home by X amount of time. Basically, there's no argument. No ifs, ands, or buts. But these are small words. I should kind of dedicate this to Miss Christopher, my high school English teacher. I hated diagramming sentences. Absolutely hated it. But I actually had to look up what these were and so forth. So Miss Christopher, she has passed on. This is kind of for you. If is a conjunction, and don't make me pull conjunction, junction. What's my function? But a conjunction is a word that connects words and phrases. The word if, we might see that in Scripture, and it's conditional. Even though it's a little word, it says an awful lot. It's based on something, and there's something required.
Amen.
Something required. And a lot of times we brush over some of these words like this. I know it's easy for me to be reading something and just kind of brush over some of these small words, but it totally changes the nature of the meaning of a verse. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he's asking the people following, or he's making a statement to his disciples. You know, a lot of people say, "Oh, I love you, Jesus." And people do today. You know, "Oh, I love Jesus." You know, anybody that's a Christian likes to think they love Jesus. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's how you're going to display if you truly love Jesus or not, is keeping his commandments. Anybody can say, "I love you." Anybody can say that. You can say it But it drives the point home if you show it. I told Stacy 35 years ago, I love you. She goes, you don't tell me more. I said, I told you 35 years ago, if anything changes, I'll let you know. You know? You got to show it. You got to say it. Jesus wants us to love him. But more than giving lip service, he wants us to show it. Our scripture that Colin read today was 1 John 1:7. This is one, I truly feel this is one of those verses. Every verse is inspired by God. But some have bigger impacts on us. This was a verse that had a huge impact on me. When I read this and it clicked, I probably read this verse a few times in my life before it clicked. John recorded, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Amen. That is conditional. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. Everybody wants, you know, the benefits of if we do that. That if we're walking in the light, one of the benefits is we have fellowship with one another. A lot of times, I know I tend to take for granted the fellowship of other Christians. We're studying right now in Wednesday night Bible class about the book of Acts, and we have been looking at the fellowship that the first century enjoyed. How they broke bread together. They worshiped together. They shared not only things, they shared each other's lives. That's the kind of fellowship we have if we're walking in the light. We cannot have that kind of fellowship If we're not walking in the light, we don't, and I tell you, shouldn't have that fellowship with each other. If we're not walking in the light, and the Christians are giving us that fellowship, those Christians are wrong. To overlook and condone sin for us not walking in the light, and they're treating us as if nothing was wrong. They're just piling on the reassurance that what we're doing is okay and acceptable. One of the benefits of fellowship is that scripture in Proverbs, where iron sharpens iron. We make each other better. We don't just condone and accept each other to get worse and to not live up to what we were called to be. This verse here is conditional. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have that fellowship with each other. But the greatest part of this is this last part, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But it's everybody wants that. You ask any religious person in the world, do you want Jesus to cleanse your sins? Oh, yes. It's based on if you're walking in the light. And it's conditional. the word and. Little word. It's also a conjunction. And includes. It's inclusive. If you're going to McDonald's and you're ordering, I want this, this, and this. I want all of those, not the person. Usually it turns out to be, you know, you're not sure you're going to get them. Don't go through the drive-thru. I hate the drive-thru. I'm not going to get off on a Joe Pesci thing. I hate drive-thrus because you don't check it until you get home. The order's messed up. Anyway, and is inclusive. You want all of those. It's in addition to other things that were said. And it's also. Okay? There are some verses that goes along with this. In Galatians 5, and Dick alluded to this this morning in Bible class, verses like this about sin. And starting in verse 19, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." We had a lesson based on this passage about a month ago. "Now the works of the flesh are evident." It's obvious. "Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies." Our toes are getting ready to be stepped on, brother. "Outbursts of wrath." Ow, ow. "Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like." Anything like these things. You know, for the legalist that wants to, you know, play a game of words. Well, by definition, I really didn't commit. And the like. Anything of those. And it goes on to say, of which I told you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Case closed. He gives a whole list, a pretty big list, Paul does. And he ends it, and the like. I'm not going to tell you every single thing, giving you this list of things, and anything like that. Anything else like that, and will keep you out of heaven. I think, in my opinion, this verse is probably one of the greatest examples of and. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." There are a lot of religious people. In fact, I would say every religious person that I've ever run across believes that if you believe in Jesus, that you have to believe. Many people think that all you have to do is believe. That's good enough. Jesus himself. I'm not making the rules. I'm not making the rules. If you disagree, someday you can take it up with Jesus. But he says, "He who believes and is baptized." I don't think we're going to be able to get away with, on Judgment Day, arguing Well, I believed. You said, he who believes. But he says, I also said, and is baptized. That carries a lot of weight. We're not arguing that you have to believe. He says, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Anybody that doesn't believe is not going to go to the problem, the trouble of getting baptized. He who believes and is baptized. In Acts 2:38, one of the verses that I probably remember hearing about the, you know, earliest in my Christian walk is Acts 2:38, after Peter had delivered a wonderful gospel message to the crowd in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and he winds up telling them, and this Jesus who you crucified is the Son of God.
Amen.
And they cried out, their eyes were opened in verse 37, and it said they were cut to the heart, and they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He didn't say, all you got to do is repent. That kind of goes without saying. You did something bad. Don't do that anymore. Whatever sin. And be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Most religious people would not argue that you have to repent of sin. There are some people that would argue that Calvinistic doctrine that whatever you do doesn't matter. The saved are going to be saved no matter what they do. But most religious people do believe in the idea of repentance, of living a good life. But the Apostle Peter said, because of your sin, repent and be baptized. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. The little word or, also a conjunction. Or means this or that. It's an alternative where you have a choice. There's a choice involved. In Romans 6, Paul had just been talking about grace. The benefits of grace. That grace was a gift of God that we could not come up with. Just in a couple of chapters earlier, in chapter 3, he talks about how all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then he gets into the great benefits of grace. And he starts Romans 6 out with, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? There were people then and people today. Well, if we're going to get grace from God for our sins, to cover our sins, we'll just keep sinning so we get more grace. It don't work like that. Paul says, we've got an option here. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. I think the New American Standard says, forbid it, God. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know? Here's the alternative. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? You don't want to keep sinning to keep getting more grace. We have been baptized. Our sins have been forgiven. And we have been raised a new creature. No longer living that life. We've got that. Do you know this or do you know this? And Paul is saying, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized, into Christ Jesus? In Matthew 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives an example of two different thoughts, talking about judging each other. And verse 3 says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or, how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own? You can't do that. You can't. I tell you, when we're looking at other people, we tend to have 20/20 vision. It's like, well, you know, we can inspect others with a microscope. But then when it comes to us, we might have all these flaws and all this sin in our life, and we don't see that. And Jesus is saying, or how can you say to your brother, Let me remove that speck in your eye, but you got this big old beam in yours. A choice. Galatians 4:9, Paul, writing to the Christians in Galatia, he makes it very clear, but after you have known God, or rather are known by God. That's the key.
Amen.
Most people in the world, I would say, are aware of God. They know about God. Whether they believe in it, that's their choice. Whether they have altered their life because of that belief, that's another story. But most people are aware of God. Does God know them? Does God know them as a child of His? And that's the key. I knew who Elvis Presley was. Never got to meet him. He didn't know me from Adam. But I knew who he was. I know who God is. The key is, does God know me? Does God know me as a Christian? And with Jesus as my mediator, if I confess Jesus before men, He confesses me before God the Father. But after you've known God, or rather are known by God, that's so important. And last, but. There's a preposition for you instead of a conjunction. Prepositions connects nouns and pronouns, things, people, to another word. But is an exception. Where and is inclusive, but excludes. It's not included in what you're talking about. Romans 10:2, for I bear them witness. Paul is talking about the Israelites. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. It's excluding. Their zeal, it's not based on anything. It's just emotional. It's not based on any knowledge, or else they would be doing things different. We could apply this today. Most people believe in God, but it's not based on biblical knowledge. based on mythology, based on practice, religious baggage, religious practices maybe they've grown up with that wasn't based on Scripture. They have a zeal, but not based on knowledge. 1 John 1, verse 16 and 17, the apostle writes, he had just talked about the three pathways of sin. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And now he's saying, and the world is passing away. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. He gives an exclusion. The world is passing away, and those three paths of sin that is in the world are passing away. Lust of the eyes and the pride of life. But he who does the will of God abides forever. An exclusion statement. You don't have to be. We've said this before. Everybody is going to live eternally. When I was younger, I used to think, oh, only Christians are going to live in eternity. Everybody's going to live for eternity. We just have to decide where it's going to be. Where our mailing address is going to be. Is it going to be heaven or hell? The people in hell are going to live eternally in hell. The Christians and those saved will be in heaven. John says the world and everything in it is passing away. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Ifs, ands, or buts. Little words. If I'd have known those when I was in high school, I wouldn't have struggled as much in English and composition and literature and all that stuff. Struggled for B's and C's, but Miss Christopher, you did your job and it stuck. Ifs, ands, or buts means a lot more scripturally than it does in an English book. We never like to leave an assembly without offering an invitation. You may have sin in your life that you need to repent from. You may have been studying and realized, like the Ethiopian eunuch, I need to be baptized. There's water. What prevents me from being baptized? We saw some scriptures today. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. You might realize, I need to be baptized. You may have prayers that you would like offered up. We would be more than happy to pray with and for you for an issue in your life. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, let your needs be known, we'll address those as Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.